Hello and welcome to another episode of the CG Garage. This is episode number 267, featuring Alex Nijma, who is the head of workflow over at Walt Disney Animation Studios, which is a great position to be in, and we will talk about that. But more importantly, Alex is someone who I've actually wanted to have on the podcast for a long time because he is, honestly speaking, a really, really, really great person, really funny person. He and I share a lot of the stupid dad joke sense of humor that we enjoy so much. But he is also, you know, someone who, when I first started in visual effects, and the very first movie I ever did in visual effects, he started around the same time in terms of doing his first visual effects things. We both had careers before in computer graphics, but never worked on a movie in visual effects until that first time, which was a long time ago in a digital domain. And so obviously our careers have blossomed and grown for a long time. And I ran into Alex at SIGGRAPH last year, and we chatted, and we said, oh my God, you know, I've always wanted to have him on the podcast because he's such a fun guy to be with. And so finally, we were able to make that connection happen. And it's really, really cool to have him on. Alex is a great guy. He's a really, really cool guy. And I really appreciate him coming on. And I think you guys will see how much we like to hang out and reminisce about the good old days. But it was fun to have him on. I will say that you guys will notice that Kristen is not here to help me with events and announcements, et cetera, et cetera. Unfortunately, Kristen is way too busy doing all kinds of stuff. Yes, she is actually much more important than me, believe it or not. And so I am sitting here by myself trying to figure out what we need to do because I am not as good as her in terms of figuring out all the announcements. But I will ask you to do Kristen a favor and go to chaosgroup.com, check out the events section, check out the news section, check out everything that's going on at chaosgroup.com, which is, she unfortunately is not able to extract that information for me. But go ahead and do that. Check it out. I will ask, though, that if you guys are enjoying this podcast, make sure and follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/CGGaragePodcast. All one word. And if you or you just want to go to our website, it's just chaosgroup.com/CGGarage. What I also appreciate, of course, as I mentioned this many times, is if you listen to us on Apple Podcast or on your Apple devices, just go ahead and give us a rating, a review, and a share on Apple Podcast. We would always appreciate that. All right. That being said, please enjoy my good friend, Alex Nijma.
Welcome to another CG Garage, where the Chaos Group talks. You'll know it's over when the last bucket drops. We're gonna fire off rays in high dynamic range. We know that ambient occlusion is passe. Global illumination won't lead you astray. And while image-based lighting is really swell, you need to make sure everything has Fresnel.
Okay, so I should let people know that I believe your first day at Digital Domain and my first day was very close, or if not the same day, right?
May have been. I can't remember if one was before the other or we just kind of started at the same time.
Right. But to you and I, it was like our first time doing visual effects or any movie or anything like that, right?
That's right.
So it was kind of like we were reading off each other, like, what is it like to work? Are you okay? Like, stressful?
I had no idea what it was. I've actually never even imagined what visual effects was.
Right.
You know, that's just something that Eric Hansen kind of like got me into.
He got me in too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a big deal. So what led you there? So let's talk about that journey that took you to Digital Domain where you and I first met, and then we can catch up, you know?
Yeah. Well, I was working at a startup company years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And I've been at that startup company for, I think at that time, let's say I started in 94. It was a robotics company first, then became this real-time company that was developing a real-time, highly physically based engine, and they wanted to build content for it.
Okay.
And so that's where I first started.
In the 90s?
94.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. How I got there is that's a whole...
Let's go there. Let's
yeah,
go
you want to go there?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. So... So I was in the restaurant business at that time.
Yeah.
I was working with my brother.
Right.
And we've been working together for like 8 years in the restaurant business.
Okay.
And it was just, I've always been into drawing and art and stuff, but it's like I was trying to get into this world of like just doing computer graphics. Uh-huh. Though computer graphics was super new. I just had bought a 386 PC.
Yeah, so we're talking like early 90s,
very
late
early.
80s, right?
Yeah. I think I had 2 megabytes of RAM in my machine at that time.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I was living the life.
Yeah.
I purchased this book called Pauvre.
Oh, nice.
Right? Persistence of Vision, and it came with this 5 1/4 inch floppy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. So I started reading it and popped in that disc and just kind of, it was a text-based
Renderer.
Ray tracer. Mm-hmm. And so
I mean, ray tracing, think about that. Like that was crazy back then.
Yeah.
Ray tracing was, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was really into mechanical drafting. So I was oh, this is great. So I bought a bunch of graph paper and I just started graphing my ideas, and then I would just start typing them in and coding it. And the first time I started using it, I created the sphere. It was a Phong sphere it was a red sphere with a little bright highlight on there.
Mm-hmm.
Blew me away. After that, after I saw that my brother, I was living with my brother at the time, and he kind of walks by and it was like almost midnight. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, check this out.
I made a sphere.
Yeah. I go, check this out. And he goes, it's a ball.
See that highlight? It's amazing.
I made that. That was a vacuum. It was nothing.
Yeah.
And he goes, you should go to bed.
All right.
So anyway, I kept going with that. But during the day, I'm working at the restaurant. We've been working there for years. And I came across a book called Mastering 3D Studio.
Oh, right. Okay.
Back in the day. It was like 2 inches, 2.5 inches thick.
Yeah.
And while I'm at the restaurant, I'm just reading this. I don't own it. I don't have 3D software. I only had that Pauvre, but I've just been reading this over and over.
So you're reading a book of software that you don't own.
Exactly.
Okay.
Welcome to my world.
Right.
Right. So I'm just reading it and reading it, and people are constantly.
That's like reading the manual to a Tesla and you don't own a Tesla.
That's how bad I wanted it, right?
Yeah.
And I like was living this book.
Uh-huh.
And people would ask me all the time, what's that book? And like nobody wants to hear like, oh, it's this 3D software. And they're like, what's 3D? So one day I'm at the restaurant and this Mercedes 500 SL pulls in, and then an NSX pulls in right next to it. And this couple come in.
Honda NSX or
Acura.
Acura, yes.
Yeah. Beautiful, right? So this couple come in and they're ordering and I'm at the register and the lady asks me, oh, who's reading that book? And I go, oh no, here we go again. I go, I am. She goes, do you know how to use that? And I go, yeah. Like, why would I say no? I have this book.
Right.
I go, yeah. And she hands me her card and she goes, oh, you want to come by and see what we're doing and this and that? And I'm like, man, it's like for months I've been like looking to find a job in this, and I just couldn't find anything.
Yeah, just someone who walks into your restaurant.
She comes in and she sees this book.
Right.
Right.
I love this story. I've heard this, but I love it.
Oh, okay. So
I remember it now. It's like because it's been a long time.
So I go, yeah, sure. That sounds great. So I get ready and I'm super nervous. I don't even know what to expect. And I go to their office.
Yep.
And she's introduces me to everybody and she walks around and there's like there's one of the 3D modelers and he's working on this animation. And she goes, oh, she goes, well, you know 3D Studio. She goes, can you give him any advice? And he goes, oh, dude, I've been doing this thing for a week now. I don't know what's happening. But
you've never touched a software.
I don't even know what it looks like. I don't even know what it looks like.
So you're going in there giving advice to someone who actually uses the software.
Who went to school. So, and then I'm like, and so he's like, I'm trying to do this animation. At that time, they were doing this animation for a wafer robot. So it's kind of like this three-arm thing, and the robot has this like linkage, right? And it's moving in and out, and it's got to do this. And he goes, but it's supposed to be very surgical and move like abrupt, and you know, and this one looks like spaghetti noodles. It's kind of like doing this floaty thing.
Because it eases.
Right. Yeah. And I go, oh, you know, I think you need to go into your graph editor and you need to switch it from your spline curves and switch that over to linear curves.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, where's the graph editor? And I go, oh, well, you got to pull this menu down.
You never use it. So
I've never used it. Like, you got to pull this menu down, and then it's a submenu under there, and there it is. There's your graph editor, and it pops. I've never seen it. Like, I'm like, oh.
And you're like quietly like, wow, look at that.
I'm like, wow, that looks kind of complicated, actually. And I go, well, there should be a switch here that, you know, and he's like, oh, well, there's this thing that's like TCB or this and Bezier. And I'm like, that's it. Switch that. Pick linear. And he does it, and it worked.
Right.
And it's like, oh, my God, you fixed it. And, like, right at that time, like, right at that moment, I had the job.
Yeah.
It was like, that was it. I got it.
But you never used to. That's amazing.
Oh. And I was like, wow, I'm gonna read this book some more.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was just, that was kind of my first step into that world. So I interviewed with all the principals of the company and –
And this was a startup company, and I believe that's where you met Eric Hansen.
Yes. In like 2000, like in the year 2000, right around that time, they had, they said, oh, we, and it was all because of Fifth Element. They're like, oh, we found this guy who worked on the city part of the Fifth Element.
They were doing ride stuff. Is that right?
Yeah. So this company was doing motion platform, virtual environments, and they built everything. Like, we had a motion platform in the building.
Okay.
We engineered like all the screens and like everything. And it was multi-unit, so everybody talked together. Like, everybody was in sync.
So it's basically like a little cab that you sat in and you were on a ride,
That's right. And it was a two-person pod.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so they combined the CG part with it with robotics part of it, right?
Yes. Yeah. So it was hardware and software. We had the software engineers were doing all the physics behind it. Mm-hmm. My job was so at that time, like, because it was a very small company, you were wearing a lot of different hats, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm doing modeling, I'm doing texturing, I'm doing animation, I'm doing concept design. I'm like, and I'm working, I'm sitting next to the programmer and we're designing what like the physics should be based on.
Right.
So it was pretty amazing, actually, like getting that insight, like working with all these different levels of the technology.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, we were making everybody sick. Like, we did not know what we were doing. Like,
right.
But then after a while, we really got it.
Okay.
So what happened is we got pretty far, and now we wanted to step up our game.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, that's where they found Eric Hansen. They're like, oh, there's this guy. Like an academy level artist worked on these films, and they loved the movie.
They loved
Fifth Element. So that was like, it was the best thing ever. So they brought Eric Hansen in. And at that time, that was my first introduction to Eric. And I loved him right from the get-go. He came in and he's like, we were using 3D Studio Max at the time. Mm-hmm. And he goes,
he's like Maya and Nurbs is what he wanted to do everything.
He goes, I need Maya.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And so they bought a copy of Maya for him.
Yep.
And I'm like, I want Maya too.
Right.
Right. Because if this guy's going to be doing stuff, I want to be able to get the handoff and work with
it. Yeah, no shit.
And so he got Maya into our small little studio and he started to kind of teach us Nurbs.
Right.
And like people were pulling their hair. They're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what is Nurbs? And, it was kind of pretty interesting, actually.
And he was still obsessed with Nurbs. I mean, obviously, Nurbs are not necessarily the future, but he was still holding on to them back then.
He was holding on to it.
Yeah.
And we were all kind of working in, polys and kind of, sub, kind of getting into like a sub D world.
Yeah,
like, no, NURBS, dude, that's like, that's going to get you there.
Okay.
But we did a lot. Like he built an entire city out of NURBS.
Yeah, I know. That sounds painful to me, but it's cool. I mean, that's what Eric did. You know, if that's your tool you worked on, that's cool.
Yeah. And I did get a lot of the handoff from mm-hmm. him as well. So we worked really close. Like Eric was such, like he was a buddy, you know, like you could really like work close with him. Mm-hmm. And he taught me a lot. I would say that Eric is not only is he a great artist, but he's like a good teacher.
He's a good teacher.
He's a very, very good teacher. Good teacher. Yeah. Anyway, so I really latched on to like, he was kind of like a mentor, right? Mm-hmm. So I really latched on to learning from him, and he really gave me a lot of skill set.
Yep.
And then like a year later, like the company ended up, like we had like some 9/11 had happened.
It was the dot-com crash that was happening too, right?
Yeah. It was not a great time. So the company went into they called it hibernation, but they shut it down.
Right.
And at that point I had just gotten married.
Yeah.
I just had my first kid. So yeah. Baby on the like baby just had him,
right?
So it was like, and no job,
right?
And my wife was going to school, so she wasn't really working,
right?
So I was like, oh no. So anyway, so we had, and we just bought a house, and we all in that 1 year we'd done all of this stuff,
right? Is up in the Bay Area. We should
this San is Jose, in the, right? San Jose area, right? Yep. We were in San Francisco, and I bought a house in San Jose. Mm-hmm. So I was living in San Jose with no job. So I started trying to get freelance work.
Right.
As I was doing that, Eric Hansen goes, "Hey, if you're available, I've got some work. If you want to help me do some architectural modeling."
Uh-huh.
Yeah, totally. So he started giving me a bunch of like work, and he actually fed me for like that year. Like nice. He had a bunch, we were doing stuff for, there was a TV pilot that was just starting up called NYPD 2000 or something like that.
All right.
And so we had to build a whole city.
Right.
So he just started giving me like concept drawings of like buildings and stuff like that. And I just modeled it. I just modeled a ton of it. And we just put this whole city together.
Right.
And then I was just doing a bunch of other stuff with him as well. And right about that time, he goes, "Hey, I'm back over at Digital Domain working on this movie Day After Tomorrow.
Yep.
We're doing this all this architectural modeling." He goes, "You'd be perfect."
Right.
And I'm like, Hollywood?
Yeah.
Like movies? Yeah. Like I had no idea what to expect. Uh-huh. And that was when he set up an interview for me to fly over and visit.
Nice.
And so we baptized my kid.
Yeah.
And I got on a plane and we went and I flew and I interviewed. And I interviewed with
Andy Wasler.
Andy Wasler, Melanie.
Yep.
I think Eric was there as well.
And then I think, wasn't it, what's his name? Proctor? No. What was his name? He was the manager. I had the same interview.
Oh, okay.
I might have been like right after you, like the very similar. And it was great. So I think you and I were hired on the same thing because Eric told me the same things. Like I was working at Gensler and I was like, and he goes, "I'm about to build all of New York for this movie called, Day After Tomorrow. We need people who can knows about architecture and just like bang out buildings."
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you and I were hired on that and we didn't know if we were good or not. That's the thing that I think that was interesting.
Had no idea.
We have no idea. It's like, this is our first movie. We have no idea. So we constantly, I know that I felt very insecure.
Yeah.
And I was like, am I doing a good job? I don't know if I'm doing a good job. I'm working for Digital Domain. Holy crap. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I don't know. Turns out that you and I were kicking ass.
We were
operating at like three times faster than anyone else because we were so insecure and we were like building it like, people were like making one building every like, two, 3 days. We're like three buildings a day.
We were rolling out blocks. It was so funny because I was, we went through the same training, right? It was like we were going through all this training and I finally got back to my desk and I can't remember who the coordinator was, came over and gives me a green folder
uh-huh.
and goes, hey, do you think you'll have something to show by noon? I go, what? No, I don't even know what I'm doing. And but
oh, it was just for walkthroughs or something.
Yeah, right? Something. Yeah. And then Andy Weisler comes into the office uh-huh. and like Eric Hansen sitting right there uh-huh. and Melanie and Dan Fowler.
That's Fowler, yeah.
Oh my God, Dan Fowler. I love him. Anyway,
he's a big virtual production guy now.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh man, I missed that.
I got to actually. Good reminder. I should get in touch with Dan and get him on the podcast. But anyway, go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah. So Andy Weisler walks in.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Who's our next architect.
Yes.
He's back to being an architect, by the way.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He was oh my God. This guy was amazing.
Yeah. He's great.
He walks over and he hands this this thing to Eric and he goes, hey, I need to get the library modeled. Do you know anybody that can model that? And I don't even know what he's talking about. I haven't even seen a script or anything.
Right.
And
but it's the New York City Library. It's a major part of the plot.
Yeah.
It's a central part of the plot of the movie.
I don't even know what the movie's about.
Yeah. Yep.
So he goes, oh, yeah, Alex can model that. And he goes, well, how long do you think it'll take? And Eric goes, I don't know. He looks at me and he goes, what do you think, a week? And I go, I'm just going to trust anything that Eric says right now because.
For sure.
Yeah.
And listen, I go, you're talking about a guy who basically said, I know 3D Studio and never actually seen the program. Okay. So, I would imagine you said, sure.
Yeah. It's exactly what I said. I said, sure. And so mm-hmm. he goes, okay. So then he gives it to me.
How much Maya experience did you have at this point? I guess enough through Eric, right?
My Maya experience was only through Eric and then from all the side projects that we had worked together. That's where I've done all my...
Were you still doing stuff in NURBS or had you moved to Poly's at this point?
No, I was doing Poly's.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
No, not like NURBS, I... when Eric left, NURBS went away too.
Yeah.
No, okay. But NURBS was an interesting thing. Uh-huh. I did enjoy it and I'm glad I know it.
Just so people know, like literally Eric would model buildings with NURBS. And if people know anything about this, it would just be like, what?
Even at DD. He was doing some stuff like mm-hmm. that. Yeah. So they hand me this folder.
Uh-huh.
And then they give me the script.
Oh, right. You have to read a script.
And then I read the script and I go.
It's the first time you've read a script, right?
It's the first time I've read a script.
Uh-huh.
And there was a lot of stuff happening around that library.
Yeah. It's a central part of the movie.
Anxiety just started coming, you know. Yeah. I'm like, holy crap. And I look over at Eric and I go, did we agree on a week? And he goes, you can do it. And I go, okay. And then all of a sudden, all these folders start – I mean, not folders. All these, like, photos.
Yeah. Photo reference, yeah.
Photo reference start coming in. Aerial shots. They had flown over New York, and they were just like
– Wilcoff did a bunch of those.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm like, oh, my God, okay. So I started modeling it. But I started modeling it in, like, modular pieces. Mm-hmm. Like, I just attacked pieces.
Yep.
And I built everything together. And Charles Abouad.
Yeah.
He comes over. This is my first introduction to Charles. I'm like working on the model. I'm like so focused. And all of a sudden this face lines up and almost cheek to cheek with me. And he goes, you better model the shit out of that. That's like the hero building. I'm like, oh my God.
Yep.
So like no pressure, right?
Yep.
And we got it done. We got it done in like just, I think it was just over, like it was under 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We had got it done. And it got to the point where they brought legal in. And legal,
yes.
And, right? And then so legal comes in and they start looking at it and they go, it's too close.
Oh, right. Because it couldn't look exactly like the library.
They didn't actually have complete, like they.
They didn't get all permission. So it had to, and they didn't even call it the New York Library. They call it something
Manhattan
else.
Manhattan Library.
Well, something. It's like pretty close, but not, yeah.
Yeah. So they're like, we need to change that. I'm like, oh man, I'm glad I modeled everything in modules. So I made some changes and I replaced the lions with like other things. And
ostriches or something.
That's what I wanted. so anyway, we got through approvals and we got it all done. And then right around that time, Estrus, remember Estrus?
Yeah, of course.
He comes to me and he goes, we need to build roof equipment. I'm like, what? And he goes,
right.
So they developed this thing called the
Roof Kit.
Roof Bot.
Roofbot. That's right.
Yep. Roofbot.
And because you get, basically there's so many aerial shots in New York. And then we had all these buildings, but all these buildings have got this mechanical crap on top of it.
That's right.
So air conditionings, water towers, ladders.
AC units.
AC units. Everything. Random shacks, barrels, whatever. And so you created a system of just dumping all this stuff on there.
Yeah. So we created these trays, these roof trays.
Right.
That fit the different arrangements of building tops.
Yeah.
And then I just started creating, like, here's some straight pipes, quarter pipes,
yeah,
right
that.
Angles and yeah. all this stuff. And, like, even to the point where it had, like, the things that secure all the piping in the doors and the ACs. And so we created this whole kit. And so I grabbed some of those kits and I started putting them on the library to mm-hmm. fit the library. Mm-hmm. And then at right around that time, I think, like, Karen Galikas came in, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, we need to set up a turntable on your library and take that. That was my very first daily session.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I don't even know how to
render.
Make an animation.
Well,
or
you
render.
Knew how to render, but you just didn't know how to go through the pipeline, right? To get it on the farm and all that stuff. Yep.
I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And I think Cody helped me with that.
All right.
Right.
So Cody Harrington.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. I roomed with him before I started at DD.
Nice.
Yeah. He so he showed me how to do that, and we kicked it off, and we submitted it, and I was sitting in there, and Karen's got a presence, right?
So, oh, yeah.
And so we're sitting there, and my turntable comes up, and it starts turning. It goes around, and it's like a fly-through. Like Cody was like, no, we got to make this thing dynamic, man. Let's not just do a turntable. Let's start with the camera here. Let's kind of fly around.
Right,
and
right.
So he just wanted to have all this fun with it. So we did it, and we show it. And it's like, oh, cool. I'm like, oh, that looks really cool. Silent. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Right.
I'm like, uh-oh. And she goes, who modeled that? And I'm like, oh, my God. I did.
Yeah.
She goes, okay, it's great. You bought yourself another week. I'm like, oh, my God. This is what it's going to be like every week.
Oh my God.
But yeah, it was really, I think what I really appreciate about that place is there's such a support group there. Like it is such a team environment. But at the same time, like I felt like I was learning stuff every single day.
I remember, it was one of my first couple of weeks there, and it was a similar experience that you just talked about. And I forgot what I was doing. I think it was something.
Was it the Capitol building?
No.
Tower Records, no?
It might have been Tower Records, or it might have been the Hollywood sign or something.
Hollywood sign.
It was funny because I modeled the
shit out
of that Hollywood sign. It was just such a small part of the movie.
Yeah.
I had every rivet, every wrinkle, and every corrugated piece of metal. It was so ridiculous.
Oh, I remember this. This
and,
is
and, like, and but I But the Hollywood sign is really simple to model. So, but, you know, I did it in like 2 days.
Yeah.
I had a budget of a week to do it. So I pretty much did it in like a half a day. And then I spent the next day and a half just going to town on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Andy Weisler, I was like, going to do a thing. And he said, well, let's do this. And I said, I don't know how to do that. And he goes, neither do I, but I figured between the two of us, we'll figure it out. And then I was like, oh, okay. So I felt like, you know, it was on that insecurity, but he was like, no, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a really great support group for sure, and it was great. It was a lot of fun, and it was also very casual too, right? So,
super casual.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It was. I felt like I was at like in college,
mm-hmm.
right?
Definitely.
I do remember now that you bring up signs. You worked on this one sign, and it was. I can't remember. It was who was it? It was the.
It was Angelique.
Yeah.
The story is we didn't have the rights to do it yet. They were going to get it, but didn't have it. So it was a billboard, a building with a billboard on top, where the reporter gets the billboard gets blown off by a tornado and kills the reporter. I modeled the building and I modeled the billboard. And then we put something on the billboard and we found one of those, took a picture because I was taking photo reference of billboards. We took a picture of billboards and one of them was like, you know, injured at work, accidente, you know, call 1-800-LAWYER or something like that. So I took that and then we photoshopped out the lawyer and put my face on top of the lawyer just because it was goofy. And so for a long time during dailies, the reporter was getting hit by my face going, injured at work.
That's right. It was so fun.
So stupid.
It was so awesome. Yeah. It was great.
It eventually got replaced by D'Angelique, but anyway, it was pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a lot of things like that.
Yeah.
One of the other interesting things was like, at some point, Roland Emmerich was like, there's a shot where the tidal wave comes right toward the library. It's just coming down the street and it's going to crash in. And he decided, let's remove this building from the footage and let's put a building in construction there. That would be nice. It's like, okay. So I start modeling this. So I'm doing it and I'm modeling this building. And he goes, oh, I want it to be completely under construction, the top 8 floors and the below, I want some structure. It was like, I'm building this thing. And of course, Eric's an architect as well. And Eric goes, and I'm building it and it's got some glass and I'm trying to make it look all real. And he goes, space frames.
Yeah.
We need to put space frames in there to support those big windows. And so he's like teaching me all about And I don't even know what that stuff is. And it's like teaching me. And he's like, can you send me all this reference? I'm like, man, you're just putting more work on me.
Thanks a lot. I had this thing nailed. Roland's expecting it tomorrow, and now you're telling me how to build my building.
But it looked really good.
It did.
And so
I remember that, yeah.
And it was so cool because this is where I was starting to learn things about like physics. So it's like, well, how do I make things look super disorganized? And so I started building I-beams.
Yeah.
And like letting physics drop and like, like they land where they land. And so we had a lot of fun. Like it was, at the end of the day, you didn't even really get to see much of it.
Yeah. I remember building that Hollywood sign, and then Mel was looking at me and was like, all right, now get up from your desk, walk back about 15 feet. Now that's about how you're going to look at it from this movie. It was like, oh, crap. I had it so modeled.
So good.
So modeled. And I think, I remember when I did the Capitol Records building, Yen Zalzala, he was a Houdini artist.
That's right.
He said, he said, okay, I'm going to throw it. Like, I need you to model me some gold records that are flying out of the Capitol Records buildings. And it was like, it was so much fun. It was just to think of there's a lot of random stuff that in that movie that you don't realize how much fun we had.
It was so good.
So much fun. Okay. So then you and I moved on to iRobot.
Yes.
Which was also a lot of fun.
Yes.
So you were there. You and I were there for the first three movies because I did Day After Tomorrow, iRobot, and then Stealth. So we were on those for all three of those, right?
Yep. And iRobot actually was the first time I went into lighting.
Yeah, me too. Even though that's what I really wanted to do.
Oh yeah, I remember.
And Wasler was actually instrumental at pushing me to go into lighting because that's what I liked modeling, but lighting was really my passion.
Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah,
and so it was like I've done very simple compositing in like combustion or something, but like it's nothing that I couldn't have actually done in Photoshop. You know, it's like A over B in some.
Yeah.
But then I remember it was the first time I actually got my hands on Nuke.
Yeah.
And Eric Hansen's like, he's like, well, this is how you use it, and he kind of gave me a 15-minute quick course. And then I'm like, okay, I think I get it. And I start creating this graph. I'm like putting stuff together.
But in those days, Nuke was – when you opened up Nuke, it was just a blank slate and you start to drop nodes into it. Like there
super
was
simple.
Nothing. There was no viewport or anything else. It was just like, yep, you just drop nodes and then you can open up a viewport after that.
That's so right. It was very so different. Simple.
Yeah. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I did too.
When I open Nuke now, I actually turn it back to that mode.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah. Because I'm nostalgic. It's probably like Eric and his nerves, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. No, so it was like I just started put a structure together and I was trying to piece something together just as I'm learning it. And Rob Niederhorst walks by and Eric goes and Rob goes, oh, that looks pretty cool. And he goes, and Eric Hansen goes, dude, he just learned Nuke 15 minutes ago because my charts are super organized. Right. And he goes, look at that layout. Right. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. But I was like, I did not know the rules of compositing
right.
at all. Like there's so many things that happen in compositing that I knew how to A over B and very simple
yep.
things. But it was a crash course, right? Because now we're like working on a film that's what I'm going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was amazing. Like every day, like for me was like going to school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember like my friend Daniel Buck, when he was learning Nuke, he was like, what the hell? And he's a very, very good compositor now. He's one of the, you know, very good library compositor. But I was looking at his script, was like, why do you have three unplea multiplies in a row?
Because I want to make sure. Because
I want to really erode that edge. Really, really erode that edge. It's like, it doesn't work that way. You can erode something. You use an erode. You don't just keep on pre-multing. Anyway, yeah, it was that was awesome. iRobot was a lot of fun.
That was a blast.
Yeah. It was a great show. It was a great show to work on.
That's where they moved us into the stage, right?
Yeah, that was the first time we moved to the stage. So the stage had first been opened for the Peter Pan.
Oh, yes. Right.
So right. Hansi was there and it was Ricardo. Remember Ricardo?
It was, Bassus.
Lynn Bassus.
Lynn Bassus. Was she there too? Or?
She was there. Yeah. So they all came from the Peter Pan team. Mm-hmm. And so we basically took over as the iRobot team. And that's that right. was, you know, literally just coming right off of Day After Tomorrow into iRobot. And it was great. It was a lot of fun. Steve Preak, Andy Jones, Eric Nash was the VFX supervisor.
Oh, he was great.
And he was really great. Jonathan Eggstab was doing that.
He sat right, like I sat right next to his office.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? At one point when originally I wasn't, but then later I did sit next to him. Yeah, it was amazing having, you know who else? Steve Hewitt was, John Hewitt, sorry. Yeah. John Hewitt was
He's
doing.
Been on this podcast.
Okay. Yeah, he was doing like the shader work on like the metals, right?
Yeah, the metals and then the translucent plastic stuff and all that. And this was before ray tracing also. We should note that. It was like
– Oh, yes. Chris Harvey was like a magician, right? Yeah. He did a lot there.
Yep.
But that show actually was a huge step. Like that was we did a lot on that show.
Yeah, we did. Because you and I were put into positions of leadership very quickly, even though this was our first movie, right?
Yeah.
So, or our second movie, technically.
Right.
And it was kind of a big deal for us. And that was mainly because, you know, Didi made those opportunities happen back then. And you didn't have to sit there and wait for, you know, 15 years of ranking up to get there. You could like, no, let's give it let's see how he does, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's just exactly because you and I were like, we're going to just go really fast. I was like, these guys are really ambitious, really ambitious. Really what it was is just low self-esteem.
It was insecurity, right? It's like we were strapped in with insecurity.
Yeah, yeah. And so, well, obviously that's changed a lot through the years. Yeah. But after Stealth, I don't want to get too much into Stealth because, you know, that show was quite a show. But Rob Cohen was hilarious, a lot of fun to work for.
Yeah.
He was really good.
He had some of the best one-liners too.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That we were just talking about how he used to, Brad Herman, he used to call him Hermione.
Which I'm sure Brad loved.
I'm sure he loved. Well, come on. The director keeps calling you out on his show. It's got a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a lot of fun. But you ended up going to Disney.
Yeah.
So that was your first big step. So now you had really gotten a good solid grounding at Digital Domain.
Mm-hmm.
You knew you'd gotten some experience, obviously, in different departments and different levels of leadership. And so Disney, how did that actually happen?
Yeah. So that right about that time, there was an opportunity where Disney was looking for artists, and so I was interested, but, you know, that's kind of talking back and forth with Digital Domain. I was just trying to look for, like, I wanted to get into, like, more of a staff position.
Mm-hmm. We were still technically freelance.
We were still freelancing, right?
Yeah.
And like back and forth, just couldn't get that to land. So I went ahead and said, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and interview over at Disney. And I did find it was kind of interesting because as I was trying to set up a reel to show to Disney, I was going through somebody that was making reels that does a lot of reels for Disney. Mm-hmm. And I'd cut my own reel and it had like, it had lighting, it had modeling, it had some texture work. Like I had all kinds of stuff. Yeah. And then they were like, oh no, you need to pair it to one thing, right? Because I think at that time, a lot of studios weren't looking for generalists.
Yeah, generalist was a bad word back then.
Right. And so they wanted to be able to place you. So
yeah, if a recruiter's looking at it, it's like, I don't know where to place this person. Exactly. Is he a modeler? Is he a texture or lighting? Yeah.
So I chose lighting.
Yeah.
So I put in for lighting and I ended up getting it after, it took a while. Like it took probably almost a month before I got hired on.
Huh.
But then when I did, it came on back during, it was right at the end of Chicken Little. I was hired on for Meet the Robinsons.
Okay.
It was really interesting because being in live action, we work with plates.
Yep.
And you can match to a plate and you have an idea, you're done when you lose your shot.
Right.
So in this world, it's like everything is built.
Right.
You're the camera, you're the floor, you're the wall, you're the character. You're everything is like there's no plate.
Right.
So it was a little different. I had to wrap my head around a whole different concept of working.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I had all these ideas moving from like what I've learned from digital domain. But then, you know, you go from one kind of pipeline and workflow and you go into another workflow. It's a little, nothing always quite fits.
Right.
So I had to reset myself. Right. Okay. I got to like think about how we're doing it here now, you know.
Right.
So I put some of those things away and I just kind of learned that pipeline and started working early on. And it didn't take a long time. What ended up happening, we had at that time they were called sequence leads, which are basically like supervisors, lighting supervisors.
Okay.
And I was a lighter, but I did take on a lot. Like I worked for one lighting supervisor who really gave me a lot of responsibility. Like he let me do like, oh, you define the look for this and do the, and so we really like we connected really well.
Nice.
And then from that, he actually asked if I could be his lead lighter under him.
Okay.
I was like, that's awesome. So from that, I started working under the role where I'm checking in with his team, making sure everybody got what they needed, as well as, I mean, I'm still doing my own shots, but I'm helping everybody else. And not too long after that, they promoted me to a supervisor.
Yeah.
So I felt like I went through three roles on that one show.
Oh, seriously? So this was all on the same show?
This is all on the same show.
This is all on Meet the Robinsons?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was a huge kick for me because I got my name on the big card, you know, pop up on the film. And it's like, wow, that's really awesome.
Uh-huh.
So that was interesting. That was about during Meet the Robinsons, kind of like when we acquired Pixar, right? Disney.
Right.
Took Pixar over and so it was that's when we got to meet Ed and and John and but that was my experience with Meet the Robinsons. And from there I got to work on Bolt was right after that.
Oh, I love Bolt.
Yeah, so I got to work as a lighting supervisor on Bolt.
Yeah.
And then like midway, and Bolt was really interesting. It was a whole different look, which was what was really cool about Disney is like, okay, so we had this one movie that we just wrapped up on.
Yep.
And we're going to do another movie.
It's going to look
completely different.
Right.
Like new technology. We're going to make things look more hand-painted, but 3D. And it's like, wow, how do you do that? And that's where you really get that respect to
that's
like
awesome.
Technology really is like, it's amazing.
Yeah. So Bolt was a great show. I loved that show.
Yeah,
it was fun. If that was happening during your, so when did Tangled come? Was that shortly after? Were you on Tangled?
No. So right around the middle of Bolt, I had to leave. I had some family stuff that I had to deal with up north. So I stayed for, so I had to deal with some family things. So I left and I stuck around LA for almost a year before moving up north.
Okay.
And then when I did get up north, I ended up, I was asked to, if I could help. So the startup company that I worked for early
on. The original one, yeah.
Yep. They were trying to fire back up.
Oh,
and they were saying, hey, could you like consult? Are you interested in consulting or doing some stuff? And I go, yeah, okay, yeah, maybe I'll do that. So I started helping out. And then eventually I just started working back with them again.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So we did that from 2008 to 2012.
Okay.
That was really interesting because I did get to bring a lot of, like, I've learned a lot after going to DD and going to Disney. It's like my skills have gotten a lot better than what it was before. So they kind of, at some point, they just let me run the department.
Interesting.
So, and we were like, I was involved with like making interfaces for users because they were trying to do this online thing. So, so they were like, okay, we need to get this out there so people can build into this, these worlds.
So were they going back at making their ride stuff?
No, they wanted to make a virtual, like, you know, at that time, what was big was like a Second Life. Remember Second Life?
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
They wanted to do something that was going to be like years, light years ahead of that. Like they wanted like real physics in it. They that's the one thing they never dropped was the fidelity, the physics, high fidelity physics.
Interesting. Okay.
So they wanted to create an experience that felt real and wanted it to look good.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they still needed to get funding. Mm-hmm. It was a real competitive space, right? Life was kind of dominating it.
And,
so we did start to build some things and got it out for people like to beta test. It never really made it out in public. It was all like beta testing. It was really great, but the only problem was funding. Like we couldn't quite get the funding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then after that, I think we were getting ready to shut those doors again. And I got an email from from Disney saying, hey, we're going to start Frozen if you're interested in coming back. The first one.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, sure, okay. But my poor wife, like I'm moving her from here to there and here.
And you have two kids now, and, right?
Oh, three. I have three
kids.
Boys.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we're all over the place. But then so we moved back.
How old is your oldest boy now? He's got to be.
Oh, he's 17.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Jeez, we've known each other a long time.
Yeah,
Because he was an infant when we met.
That's right. It was a funny story. I took him to Disney back on Meet the Robinsons. Uh-huh. I think he was like five. At that time, me and the VFX supervisor, we were doing at the end, we do 2K checks to make sure the final frame is clean.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there looking at it, checking it out. And then he looks over, the VFX looks over and tells Tyler, he goes, Tyler, come over.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, we're looking at two shots. He goes, which shot do you like better? And he goes, I like that one. He goes, yeah, me too. And because one had some issues with it, and he just wanted to see.
Yeah.
And so he picks it, and Tyler was so thrilled. He's like, oh my God, I actually did something.
Right.
So on the drive home, we're driving. It's almost like 9 o'clock at night, actually.
Right.
And we're driving home, and he goes, he's in the back seat in the infant chair, and he goes, Dad, are we going to work tomorrow?
Oh, nice.
Like,
yeah. I wanted to be part of that experience.
Yeah. So that was awesome.
Yeah. That's cool. That's really cool. Yeah, my son goes to work every now and then with my wife because you know he'll be sick or there's a day off school or whatever, and my wife sits in a big flame bay, so he has plenty of space to hang out and do whatever he's doing. But he gets bored. So I remember like at one point my wife's sitting there, she's in a flame bay, she's working, she's doing her thing. He's like, whatever, you know, he's on his computer or his you know switch or something and doing. And then after a while, he's like, ah, bored. And so he just kind of wanders outside in the hallway. And so my wife's not really paying attention, but she's drawing, and she hears him talking to someone for like a long time, like out in the hallway. And this person's like, and they're having, I was like, what's going on? So she goes out to see what he's doing. And apparently he was talking to Christopher Guest.
That's awesome.
He had no idea who Christopher Guest is. But he was at, this was during the Pokemon Go days.
Okay, yeah.
And so he's like, hey, Christopher Guest sees this kid, his young kid outside. He's like, what are you doing out here? Are you looking for Pokemon or something? And then he's like, no. But then he's like, but did you hear about what happened in New York? So it's my son. And so he starts having this long conversation about Pokemon with Christopher Guest. And like, awesome. Oh, and my wife comes out like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And he goes, no, it's fine.
So how old is your son?
Now he's 10. So now he was 10. Probably about 6 or 7.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He had no idea. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But you have 2 kids, right?
I have 2 kids. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I have 2 kids.
Yeah.
But I think it's fun, you know, when they get to see stuff and be part of it a little bit. It's weird. Like, my kids don't necessarily have an interest in anything I'm doing.
Okay.
But it's fine. You know, I mean, they're kind of interested a little bit. I know, you know, like my wife does similar stuff. And so she, you know, she was working on a, I'm not going to name the movie, but she was working on a big movie where she was just doing some quick cleanup, flame cleanup. You know, that happens like last minute. Oh my God, we missed this one thing. And so she's got to fix it before it goes out to DCP. So she's working on stuff. And then the frame comes up where it's very obvious what this movie is. And my son was in her room and he goes, do not say a word. Don't tell anyone at school. Don't do anything. Don't say anything about what you just saw. This is a family secret. So you take this to the grave. It's like, it's like, what about when the movie comes out? Well, when the movie comes out, you can say it, but don't say anything else.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
My kids are so different. Like my oldest, 17, Tyler, he's really, he's a software engineer. He writes.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He actually, he likes to buy like Android phones. So we bought him like this $200 phone and he rewrote the kernel because he wanted to be faster and more efficient.
Yeah.
And he rewrote it and then he put it because it's Linux basically. And then he sent it back and the company's like, that's amazing. Like
nice.
You 40% improvement in speed and like, but he's really into that. And then my youngest, completely the opposite. He's like, he's 11 and he's pulling green screens. He's doing his own music. He's like,
interesting.
Like linear, nonlinear editing. He's like Premiere Pro. He's teaching himself after. He's totally the other spectrum.
Interesting.
And then Ethan is like right in the middle and he's so sharp witted, but we don't know what he's gonna, like. We're like, he's going to be like a lawyer or something because he's just so quick.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know what he wants to do yet. So.
Yeah.
It ranges. It's
It's interesting. It's interesting. I remember Tyler. It was so fun. I can't imagine seeing him like as a grown up now. It's gonna be amazing.
He's as tall as you. He's
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. That's so cool. That's so cool. All right. So you end up back at Disney.
Yeah.
Working on Frozen. Can you say what you were doing on Frozen?
Oh yeah, I was lighting on Frozen.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, we're lighting on Frozen, and that was really it was amazing. Like at that point, like the dynamic, it's like Disney's always been pretty amazing as like a group, right? Like as a team, but on Frozen, it was one of those. It was an ambitious film. Like it was a lot there, but you never felt it. It just like it. Kind of was like a super fun film to work on.
Nice.
So you just got a bunch of stuff done and you didn't realize you got a bunch of stuff done.
Nice.
Because you're having a good time.
Yeah.
So it was one of those.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. But you've stuck there ever since. You've worked on several things, right?
Oh, yeah. I have. I've worked on Frozen and then I went on to be a lighting supervisor on Zootopia.
Oh, I love Zootopia.
Yeah, that was really interesting. Actually, Zootopia was really interesting because, you know, we're always doing research on everything we do. And like, so at that time, we're like figuring out how we're going to light fur.
Yeah.
You know, So we went through this whole investigation on fur, and we rewrote the hair shader to work with it. But what was cool about, like, with fur, it was like, okay, we're going to make these animals. So I started thinking, well, you know what, maybe just to help out with the R&D, I actually took a swatch of, like, a pelt of fur, like, of a fox, mm-hmm. I guess they had. And I started counting,
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did a 2x3 millimeter swatch
to see how many hairs are.
Yeah, and then I had to. Then I recorded, like, okay, there's some, like, the
there's
long.
There's probably some. There's this probably this information is online. You didn't need to count the furs.
Come on now.
Okay.
We counted them.
I bet you did.
Yeah, and so we counted them, but then we also identified within that swatch how many were, like, they had,
like, the long furs.
There's the long ones and the short furs, so we kind of counted that.
The densest fur, I do know this information, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. The densest furs, or some of the densest furs, is actually chinchillas. No, sea otters.
Oh, otters do have.
Sea otters have such dense fur that they don't actually get wet.
Hmm.
Like their fur gets wet, but their actual skin never gets wet.
That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. We went through the whole reconstruction. Like, I was trying to reconstruct. I actually modeled fur, like, with the core and everything. And I tried to put all the displacement. I just sculpted it just to, so as we shined light through it, we wanted to see how it behaved, and we went to then tried to rebuild that in Maya and try to replicate it. It was so fun. Like, these are the kind of things that I really, like, love to get into.
I remember at DD, you used to do a lot of where, like, I've got this weird idea of this, you know. I remember the dome light that we did together. I'm not going to mention what we called it, but it was hilarious.
But that became my nickname.
Dude. Yes, it did. It became your nickname. I think Mel called you that for a long time.
It was all based on, as I was explaining, I was drawing it on the whiteboard. And I didn't realize it until she said it. And I go, oh. Yeah.
That's going to have to remain an inside joke.
That is not leaving this podcast. Yeah.
So it was really fun. But yeah, I used to love to experiment with stuff. So I can totally imagine you counting fox furs.
Yeah. I wanted to do more, but they were like, that's enough.
That's enough. We only know this 2 millimeter sample. It was like, that's good enough.
I know. And also, like, after Zootopia, I got to work on, they rewrote their whole volume system.
Oh, right.
So I got to help investigate that kind of workflow
So volume rendering and stuff like that?
Yeah. So we wanted to get, like, we wanted to be able to render clouds.
Right. This wasn't with Hyperion yet, was it?
Yes.
It was with Hyperion.
Yes. What we did is I ended up sculpting a cloud based on some photo ref. And that cloud is now available for everybody to download.
It's the open source cloud from Milana.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. So that's your cloud.
Yeah. So I sculpted that.
There you go, guys. If you're rendering that cloud for Milana, this is Alex's cloud. Nice. It's a famous piece of open source data. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah, so we based on that investigation, they rewrote that whole volume system.
Nice.
It looks amazing.
Yeah. So that's really cool. Okay, so you're now doing sort of a little more upper level stuff at Disney these days, right?
Yes.
I know you can't necessarily talk too much in detail, but can you give a broad idea of what you're doing a little bit?
It's basically what we're doing is, like, there's a small group of us. It's like four of us that are kind of looking. We're kind of looking to the next, like, 4 or 5 years, and even further. But it's more about, like, how we want to work in the future, how we want to optimize our workflow to be able to handle things like, you know, feature size films, but at the same time be able to handle all these different other content that we're doing, but to do it in a way that's effective and efficient, And so that's kind of how we're looking at. We're looking at like the new technologies and just kind of thinking about like, what does it mean for us to work in the future?
Well, that sounds that sounds very much like something you'd be very, very good at.
Yeah.
And that's fun. I mean, I guess, I mean, you're basically not doing shot production that much anymore, I'm assuming.
No, I'm still very involved with it because I just
Because you have to practice what you preach in a sense, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's really cool. What do you have any ideas about like how things are going to change in the future, or like what, you know, what would you tell people like, hey, you know, watch out for this stuff. This is going to change your way you're going to look at.
Well, I mean, just in general, like things in the future. I mean, I feel like in the future, like just in general, not really necessarily anything to do with Disney because we're not talking about this, but like I do see at some point in the future, like I think like virtual computers is going to be a real thing because I just see like the amount of like resources and space and like it just takes a lot to sustain that, right?
So like, you really believe that like the 5G and edge computing and cloud computing is like...
I think at some point in the future, I can see those things being... You know, there's always the issue of like securities and things like that that happen. But
yeah, but they're pretty secure these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do. Like I always follow up on that and always read it. I think it's very interesting.
Yeah.
But I could see definite benefits in it.
That's interesting. Yeah. I agree. I'm glad you said that because... I agree. I think there is going to be a future where basically, like you know, you order up the computer you need for the moment. You know, I'm not going to sit there and have a very expensive computer that spends most of its time not doing anything. You know.
Yeah.
So ordering up that computer and doing that would be a very interesting thing as well.
Yeah, and this last SIGGRAPH
I ran into you. Yeah,
they were talking a lot about that, and it makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's still people are really apprehensive about it, but like just from hearing what they're talking about, you just think about like how much air conditioning that you have to have in your physical space.
Yeah.
And just thinking about like, well, like you just said right now, it's like, oh, I can have any software I want plugged into these machines and I don't have to maintain it.
Well, you pay as you go.
You pay as you go.
Right.
But that's the beauty. It's like you don't own it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. I agree. All right. Well, I know it's hard for you to talk about some of this stuff. Obviously, you're at the cutting edge of stuff going on at Disney, which is awesome. And I'm very happy and proud of you, honestly, because it's been... You know, you and I are just remembering back to those early days where you and I were like trying to figure this shit out.
Those are some of my fondest memories, actually. Like, you know, I think that's what you remember the most.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's when we were figuring stuff out. Yeah. And like,
it was a lot of fun. So I'm really glad you were able to come on and we're able to talk about some of that stuff and sort of give people an insight because it was the early days of us being at the company. And I think you and I were like, I don't know. Are we doing a good job? You know, and having that insecurity, I think really propelled us in a lot of ways.
It did. My first trip to LA to interview.
Yeah.
I don't know what your experience was, but I've never been to LA before.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh man, palm trees, and it's just going to be like, you know, Beverly Hills everywhere. So
it's really rinky dinky.
I'm driving and I've got my Thomas guide and I pull down the street. And I drive by and there's this building and it's barbed wire everywhere and there's broken windows and it's gray. And I'm like, it must be like a, I thought it was kind of like a juvenile hall or a prison or a facility. So I drive around the block like three times. And my third time going around the block, I'm like, where is this place? Stanley, this guy, this big, strong guy walks out and puts his hand out and tells me to stop. And I go, yeah. And he goes, are you looking for Digital Domain?
Yeah.
I go, yeah. And he goes, it's here. This is it. And I go, oh my God, what am I doing?
I know. I remember another story that this was when we were working at DD and we were there. We were walking back from lunch and we were right by DD when it was, like you said, it just looked like a war zone. But we liked it that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was good.
And so there was a homeless guy walking down with a you said it's like he had a shopping cart with, you know, his entire house inside of it. And he's looking at you. I believe he said it was at you. And he says, "What is this place?" He goes, "This is digital domain. It's a visual effects facility to make big movies and stuff." And he looks at it and looks at you and goes, "What a dump."
Yeah, that's right.
And this is a homeless guy walking by. Like, what a dump.
I know. I know. Right. He actually started walking faster.
Yeah. Yeah, I think my first experience, like when I interviewed there, because I had already – I knew where it was because I lived in Los Angeles. And I walked in there and it was – my interview was with Andy Wiesler and Mel. And Mel did not want to hire me.
And really?
Yes. And it wasn't
she
until –
She loved you. Yeah.
I know. I know. And it was until after we wrapped on Day After Tomorrow that Andy Wiesler said – we were having beers at the firehouse and they were like, yay. And then Mel and I are hugging and everything. Yeah. Everything's great. And Andy says, "You know, Mel didn't want to hire you." And she's like, "Shut up." And he's like, "Yep. She said you didn't have enough experience." It's like, "Let's give him a chance. Let's give him a chance. He's an architect. Maybe he can figure out how to do the buildings." And so she goes, yeah. So it was pretty funny.
She was wicked good.
She was really good.
She was.
Yeah. Yeah. She's great. I think she's going back every now and then to DD. She's doing as a modeling supervisor there again.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, she took a lot of time off. Josh, you remember Josh, her husband? He's at Naughty
Shear,
Dog.
Shear.
Josh Shear, yeah.
Yeah, Shear. Okay.
So he's a big director at Naughty Dog.
Is he still there? Yeah.
Yeah, he directed Uncharted 4, and I think he's directing Last of Us 2. So,
wow.
Like, yeah, he's a big shot at Naughty Dog. So.
Yeah, he's been there a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's been on this podcast too. He's great. I love him. Really cool guy.
You know, okay, do you remember Alan, I'm trying to remember his last name. He wrote Voxel.
Oh, crap, Alan. Yeah, he wrote Voxel B, which was called Voxel Bitch. At the
That's
time.
Right.
Yeah, but Alan, I can't remember his last name. I don't know what he's up to.
I don't know, but like
I think he moved back to Canada. He's Canadian originally.
Yeah. I heard a story where like he did really well because he wrote a fish tank screensaver.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he decided he was going to retire by writing a fish tank screensaver, and sell it in like you know
Kapler,
Alan Kapler. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
I thought was one of the most. He was so like. Funny, mm-hmm. charismatic. He's a young guy, right?
Yeah.
He was a young guy. He was smart as hell.
I remember it was Corey Harrington and I and Alan would go boogie boarding at lunch.
Oh, how fun. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys did have your wetsuits.
Yeah. We didn't even have wetsuits. We were just crazy. Yeah, basically just a swimsuit. And it was cold, too. Like, it was, yeah, it was not... And I remember what we'd do is like, because I would just have my swimsuit on and like a towel and a boogie board and we're like walking out of the digital domain going and I would have like $20 and I had like one pocket in my swimsuit and I just keep it in my swimsuit and go swimming. And then we'd get a burrito and I'd use my wet $20 bill to pay for my burrito. And the people hated me. And it's like, what is this? Yeah. But then, you know, you walk back into work. I mean, think about it, guys. I mean, you have a job where you go back to work in a swimsuit.
Oh, I know. Everybody had a surfboard.
Yeah. And you're like, yeah, it was quite, yeah. No wonder. It was like a frat house. It really was like a frat house. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. There were some really talented people. Like, I'm trying to remember his name. I think he was Scottish.
Oh, Rory McLeish.
Yes, Rory. Yeah. And I remember... where we were sitting in stage during iRobot, it was late at night. We were all working, probably overtime, and he just pulled out his electric guitar.
Oh, he's such a good guitarist.
Oh, my God. It was like having Van Halen in there.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Like, there were some super wicked, talented people.
He was he and I were on Stealth together. He was on my team on Stealth for, might have been iRobot. He had a very thick Scottish accent.
Yes.
We say, Chris.
That's right.
Can you come over here and check out the speckle on my shot? It's like you're specular on your shot. Yeah, right there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I love Rory. Love Rory. I still am friends with him on Facebook. So he's back in Scotland.
Is he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just to call out a couple, like iRobot, I remember you and I had two super challenging sequences. If I remember, I might have it wrong.
Okay.
You had an HQ sequence.
A headquarter sequence.
Right?
Yeah. With the big, where they were, all the robots were invading the door. Yes.
That's right. And they all kind of busted in.
Yeah.
And then I had the factory floor sequence.
Oh, right. The factory floor.
And
the FF sequence.
The FF sequence. And I remember we both, that we had a lot of work ahead of us on those. But on the factory floor, we had to render 1,001 robot.
Right.
Right? So we tried to, Estrus came up with this
idea. Turned out 1,001 didn't look like enough robots.
I know. They wanted more.
So we said it was 1,001, but really it was like 3,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like we couldn't render it. We just couldn't render it. And so Estrus was like, let's do a pan and tile in Nuke. And this is where like you really respect Nuke, where they have their 3D engine in it. So what we had to do is we had to take groups of robots and start placing them under different positions from the camera. But so I had like 20 groups of robots I had to render just to get their angles so I can use the pan. And I remember when we tried to kick those off, the studio said, nobody works Saturday. We need the farm. Like Render Man, we could not render all of those at one time. Right. So we had to batch them in these groups.
Yeah.
And it took just the took weekend.
Over the whole farm.
Yeah,
that happens. I had my last shot on Ghost Rider. They decided to turn on ray tracing because it was the only way it's going to look correct. And this is back in Render Man early days when that was like an extremely expensive thing. It took 1 week to render my shot.
Wow.
They didn't put everything on it, but they're like, this is how much we can allocate for the shot in terms
of.
And I was like, and it was my last shot I had to work on. So I basically sat on my desk and did nothing, just looked at the farm all day long.
Why was it so heavy? What made it?
It was the ray tracing. Basically, it was the transformation of the bike. It was the first time when he puts his hand on a bike and it transforms into the Ghost Rider bike.
Gotcha.
But it had to look very shiny and chromey.
A lot of metal.
And so reflection occlusion wasn't working. They had to do real ray tracing. And so that's what happened. So
brute force, yep.
Yeah. And so it was, I think it was something like 20 hours a frame at the time. Something stupid. But I mean, nowadays it's like,
You remember like on Day After Tomorrow where they had that big helicopter shot over the city.
Yeah.
And they tried to render occlusion on the buildings.
Yeah.
RenderMan just couldn't do it at that time.
Yeah.
So that's where that light rig came in that we were working on, right?
Dome, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we just did it all with shadow maps.
Yep. All right, dude. It's been well over an hour. We've had a great time reminiscing about some of the great stuff.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, I really appreciate, you coming by and, getting people to hear some of the cool stuff that's going on at Disney. Let us know if there's anything you guys, want to promote or anything. I'd love to hear about it. But it's awesome having you on.
Well, it was great seeing you, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.